Okay, so first of all, the book is awesome. I read through it yesterday and today. It comes out on October 29th. A little background first. I'm assuming you grew up in the punk scene based on the whole concept of the, you know, the website and the book and everything. Can you talk about where you grew up, where you were going to shows and all that kind of stuff?
Sure, yeah, I got into punk really young. I was probably in third or fourth grade. My older brother introduced it to me, showed me the Ramones, Catch 22, Rancid, Operation Ivy, those types of bands. And I fell in love with it right away. Of course, a big part of that had to be just I wanted to be like my older brother, like most boys. Mm-hmm. And grew up a bit, started going to shows. I think my first show was at the Pound in San Francisco, an old venue. I went to go see Catch 22. And the next show I think I went to was the Addicts at the Pound. I went to go see Clip 45, a street punk band at Gilman. And that was like, those shows were like late elementary school, early middle school. And then grew up just going to Gilman, going to DIY venues in the Bay Area, like the Swamp. And I started Burnt Ramen and the Hazmat. I started playing in bands. I played in a band in high school called Skull Stomp. Eventually, I played in a band called Zero Progress, where I became the front man. That was the band that was more known. We did U.S. tours a couple times. I played in a band called Pure. So I played. I grew up in the Bay Area. Bay Area kid. Going to Gilman, getting banned from Gilman, all sorts of Bay Area stuff, and eventually I ended up playing in DIY spots all across the country. So
cool.
Yeah, that's my background. Punk's been my whole life, so that's probably why I started a punk website.
Right. So would you talk about when you got the Hard Times started? Like, what were you doing while that was going on, and, you know, a little bit behind that?
I had a punk zine called Punks, 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 which was like a comedy zine. And so I already had a magazine where I was putting out punk comedy. And then I went to journalism school and I learned how to write news stories. And I thought maybe I should mix news writing with punk comedy. That was the start of the idea. And I had that idea and I wrote a little bit of it up actually in college. I wrote some Hard Times articles. I showed them to some friends and they didn't like them. They said it wasn't funny, that no one would read it, I would get beat up. And so I put the idea away for a little bit. Then it wasn't until several years later when I met my co-founder, Bill Conway, that I had another believer on my team, someone who wanted to work with me to make this thing a reality. And that's when Hard Times launched in 2014.
Okay. So you guys have blown up over the past few years. Has it been like, have you had like corporate people trying to like get into the mix at all? Like with how you guys run, like how does that, what do you do in that situation?
Yeah, someone tried to buy our company. I believe the offer was roughly like $800,000. That was several years ago though. We said no. We've never taken on any investors. We grow the business organically. Everything we do is profitable or we have money for it. We've never taken out any serious loans and we've never gotten any investment. The whole website's owned by a couple punk kids. We gave chunks of it to editors and people who help us with the website, people who we're like a worker-owned small business, pretty much. I own the most chunks, of course. Mm-hmm. And we do deals with corporations, though, and I like that better. So instead of giving up equity, we have like an advertising agreement with various companies like Consequence Media, Vice, and The Onion, and then we'll sell a book to HMH, which is a very big publisher, and we get to use the strengths of a corporation without having them own or control us in any way. That being said, you know, if the right partner came along who wanted to invest in our company and bring and give us more resources to pull off ideas that we have, and it was, you can set up any deal in a way that's good for everyone, I personally believe. So I'm not 100% opposed to the notion, but the deals that we had on the table so far, the offers to buy the company and such, were pretty much someone wanted to buy us and then exploit the brand and make, you know, shitty content and YouTube videos that were just garbage and just bad merch and all sorts of stuff and just try to milk it for everything it's worth. They just want to own interesting IP, and that's not really something that is, you know, that interesting to me, because this is my baby. So if you want to own all the IP and exploit it, I want to know what direction you're taking it. And I don't want to see Hard Times turn into something that isn't, I can't be proud of. So if I can find a creative, if I can find someone with resources and who has a good creative vision and wants to empower us in various ways, I would be interested in partnering with them. But I'm in no particular rush, and I'm not going to make a deal that allows the hard times to go down a road that I don't think is the best road.
Right. Do you ever get like negative, do you get negative blowback from like bands or people or like scenes that you make fun of specific, you know, like specific, like hardcore, or like skinhead or whatever?
Yeah. We've had some calls from, crews where maybe we mention them in a story and they don't quite like that. They threaten us a bit. We got a Alien Ant Farm sent us a very angry letter because they didn't understand it was a comedy website. They're like, this is a fake story.
Yeah.
And Floor Trends Magazine, just recently we wrote a story. John Danick wrote a story, one of our writers. It was Floor Trends Magazine names Linoleum, NOFX's Linoleum Song of the Year for 25 years running. And they sent us like a lawyer letter threatening to sue us if we didn't take it down immediately. I told them to go fuck themselves. And then they blocked us on Twitter. So quite the legal battle they had, huh?
So how do you guys have like a physical office, or does everybody just work from their house? And like, since it's all kind of freelance workers,
everyone works for their house. They're not all freelancers. Me and Bill, my co-founders, are full time. We have probably 400 contributors who just chip in ideas and write stories. And then we have Bill and I full time. And I'm hoping to bring on Jeremy Kaplowitz, the editor in chief of Hard Drive. I'm hoping to bring him on full time really soon. I'm looking to get resources to put that deal together. And with no office, you know, we could have an office, but I think remote work is powerful. I think that the energy you spend on your commute is a waste of energy, and I'd rather people be comfortable and spend their time enthusiastically creating, you know, creative work instead of just sitting in traffic to get to an office to make creative work together. I'm sure there's some pros to an office. You can bring advertisers in and tell them about blah 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 and try to pitch people stuff. Mm-hmm. But I ultimately, you know, we don't have any investors, and so I'm trying to make sure our money goes to the most important aspects of the business. So, you know, we have to compete with a lot of online content that's much more well-funded than us. And so I want to make sure that the stuff we're putting out is top-notch, as close to top-notch as we can get it. I think Hard Times is a little bit like it's like you put a remote control car in the Indy 500, but then we came in like sixth place and people are like, whoa, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And so, you know, part of that is you don't have an office. You take that money and you give it to contributors to make sure that, you know, you can keep writing and all that sort of stuff. I think Funny or Die, they raised a whole bunch of money, $300 million or something like that. And they had this crazy office with a slide from the second story to the first story or whatever. Now if you go on, look at their traffic, we have more traffic than they do.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just think that that's not the most prudent way to do business at the moment, the way the internet is. But, you know, I'm open to new ideas. There maybe down the road.
Right. I wanted to ask you about the Hard Times podcast. I've listened to a few of the episodes, but the list of your guests is insane. Lars Fredrickson, CJ Ramone, Keith Morris, you know, those are just a couple of them. Has it been pretty cool to, like, you grew up, you know, loving punk rock music, to get to talk to these guys?
Yeah, it's incredible. These are people who their music changed my life. Not even an exaggeration, you know? Yeah. Rancid, Black Flag. This week we had on the singer of Cox Bar, and next week is coming out Kevin Seconds from 7 Seconds. It's nonstop. And, you know, we don't have like a talent booker. You know, all we do is some of these guys reach out, and sometimes we reach out to them and say, hey, we've, you know, the guys from Green Day reached out and said they wanted a book. So it's the Hard Times is really, really well read in our community. There's not that many punk people in the U.S. who don't know what the Hard Times is. So yeah, it's been a real thrill. I have so much fun doing the podcast.
Are there people that you've tried to really get that you can't get on the show for one reason or another?
I mean, we've sent some requests that just go ignored, but I don't really hold it against the people, you know? everyone's busy and, you know, come on my podcast is like, that's, everyone gets that offer all the time.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a notable example. Oh, Ian MacKay said he would, but it wasn't 100% sure. He was a little hesitant because it was like a comedy podcast. He's like, what would you have me on? What would we talk about? He wanted details. And I think I had like 3 or 4 phone calls with him about it longer than the podcast would have been. So I'm still trying to convince him that it's going to be a worthwhile use of his time and that it won't be like a gag thing where we're going to like prank phone call him or something.
Right.
You know, for the most part, it's just been a lot of people saying, you know, people who I would be like thrilled to have on, they go, oh my God, it'd be an honor. I love the hard times. Yeah. So, yeah, it's been great, man.
And you guys are doing show, like I follow the Hard Times Shows Instagram page as well. So you guys are putting shows on as well, right?
Yeah, that's me. We teamed up with Nick Dill is his real name. People in the scene know him by Nick Bain. And he's been booking shows in the Bay Area for a very long time, some of the best shows. And we teamed up with him, and his whole thing is now it's a Hard Times Shows thing. And so we promote all the shows, and it's a good synergy. And we're doing some really exciting stuff. December, we're celebrating 5 years, and like Youth of the Day and Modern Life is War and a whole bunch of bands are going to come play Gilman over the course of 3 days. I think like Judge and Cro-Mags, maybe those are different shows. I'm not sure if those are all in the same weekend, but we've been able to book, like we booked Gorilla Biscuits. Mm. We've been able to book some really exciting, like bands that are monumental in my life. We've been able to book them and been able to have them on the podcast. That's great, man. You know, hard times come a long way. Very lucky.
Yeah, that's awesome. I was going to ask you, I haven't listened to this episode yet, but when I was scrolling through, you did a punk rock bowling review. I've never been able to go to that in Vegas, but have you been multiple times? And what's it like going to that?
I've been multiple times. I love it. I'm not a huge music festival fan, but this one is in Vegas, and I'm also a big poker player. Mm-hmm. And there's like pool parties and comedy shows and club shows. And the bands are like, they're really up my alley. Like I saw The Addicts, I saw Cox Spar, I saw Flag, I saw Fucked Up. They're Bad Religion. There's just like a lot of bands where it's like, fuck, this is like a really good lineup. The one thing I will say about that festival is the weather can be kind of rough because it's in Vegas.
Yeah.
But they recently did a thing where they put down grass, so you're no longer on concrete. So that feels really nice. And we were really lucky that last year it was like kind of like overcasty and it was actually super comfortable. But I've been probably 3 years now, I think. And there was 1 year where it was like really hot, and that's kind of a little rough, but the other 2 years, not so much. So if you're a music festival fan and you're a punk fan, particularly like a street punk fan, like you like the Street Dogs and stuff like that. And if you're like an Oi fan, cause like Angelic Upstarts play, if you like those like traditional sort of punk bands, those like early days punk bands,
yeah,
it's a pretty good excuse to go to Vegas. I would definitely recommend it. But yeah, I mean, I truthfully don't think I've ever traveled to a music festival that I didn't have some sort of work to be done there.
Right.
Because that's just not my personality. I'm kind of like a homebody, so I'm not really very much of like a, I'm going to fly and then go stay to see 50 bands in a day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, but if you like music festivals and you like punk, yes, punk rock bowling is a fucking good time. You should definitely go do it.
Have you been to the Fest in Gainesville?
I haven't. I was supposed to this year, but I never ended up pulling it off. I tried to make it so that there'd be a Hard Times tent there, but I just kind of got involved too late or something like that. And I haven't. Have you?
No, I haven't either. But is that what you guys do when you go to these things? Like you set up a tent and just like sell merch and meet people?
Yeah,
and stuff?
Sell merch and meet people. People run up to us, show us their Hard Times tattoos. I like meeting people who read the website. And we use it as an excuse maybe to interview some people or meet some people who we're going to interview. And we'll use it to take photos to put on the website and stuff like that. We just have a good time.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a little trip for the company. Like we'll do punk rock bowling. We do like stand-up comedy events at clubs before the fest, all that sort of stuff. So I try to do two birds, one stone whenever I go on a trip like that. I'm also really spoiled. I live in the Bay Area. So if I want to see a band, they're probably going to come here. You know what I mean? So like for me to travel to Florida to see a bunch of bands at once, it's like I can actually just wait and they will play a club show here and I can see them. Like I'm really lucky. I can see every band. Most bands play here. It'd be very bizarre if they didn't. And I like going to see one band at a time, meaning like a normal show where you see two or three bands or whatever. And then afterwards, you're with your friends, you go get tacos, you know, you go home, you can go to work the next day and not feel like a mess or whatever. Festivals are like, let's do 16 hours of music and being in the sun, you know?
Shitty.
Not exactly. Yeah, it's not exactly the best. Also, like the sound a lot of times isn't. It's like you go see a band at fucking the Masonic or whatever. It's like the sound in there is incredible. And then you see a band like in a field where there's like another stage playing music, you know, 1,000 yards away or whatever. It's like it's not that great.
I was going to ask you about Gilman Street going back a little bit. So I've only been there once when I was out there visiting, but is it still like is it going strong? Like it's not in danger of like shutting down or anything like that, is it?
Gilman's pretty much in danger of shutting down literally all the time,
Oh, is it? Okay.
as far as I understand. It's the longest standing punk club in the world, I believe. So it's definitely a prized possession of the community. I know Green Day does a lot behind the scenes to kind of save it. Pretty much every 3 or 4 years, Green Day will step in and save it. I had some friends who were working there who were telling me it was pretty bleak recently that the pretty much the owner keeps raising the rent. They were trying to like raise money to buy the building, but you know that's incredibly expensive and. You know, that's like a pretty prime location, and that area has really changed. When I was a kid, it was much, much different. There's a Whole Foods right down the street now, and they've kind of renovated the whole place. So you could probably tear that building down and build condos and make, you know, 30 times as much as they make owning Gilman. So, well, probably more than that. So yeah, Gilman is always in danger, and that's why it's important people donate or go become a member, which is like, you know, a little $2 a year sort of thing. It's a great club. I feel very happy that I get to book shows there and promote shows there. And you know, Hard Times does all that stuff, and we don't get any money for that. We promote shows, and the people who work at Gilman have told me several times that Hard Times shows are always the most well attended, which means more money going to Gilman. So I'm happy to do that. It feels like something I should do because it played such a monumental role in my life, that club in particular, just going to it all the time as a kid.
Yeah, I think the show I went to there was it was either 97 or 98, and it was pretty like it just an industrial kind of area back then.
Right. Yeah, it looks like a yuppie part of town now.
Damn, that's
You know?
weird.
Yeah.
I was flipping through your Twitter a few days ago, and this has nothing to do with your website or your book, but I noticed you went to the Pornhub Awards recently.
Yeah, that's right.
Can you talk a little how you ended up
Sure.
there and like what that was like?
Sure, yeah. I have a girlfriend. Her name is Selena, and she is a lingerie designer. She designs for a brand called Belle Douinie. I never know how to pronounce it. It's Belle space D-E space C-U-I-T. Belle Douinie. Wait, did I say C-U-I-T? It's N-U-I-T. Anyways, she's designed lingerie for some of the performers who are up for her awards and for some contestants. There's like a Pornhub contest, and some of the winners of the contest got some of her lingerie. And so she was invited, and she had guests, and she brought some of her friends and I, and we went to the Pornhub Awards, and it was incredibly depraved, and we had a good time. I love excuses to dress up, man. I like dressing up, but nothing in my life is like a dress-up culture. So we go to the Pornhub Awards, hang out, take some pictures because I dressed up. Yeah, I also met Joanna Angel and Small Hands, who are two porn stars who are OG Hard Times readers who have shared our work and enjoyed it in the past. And so it was nice to finally meet them in person.
Oh, that's
And
cool.
there was actually a Hard Times video that we did a long time ago with Fleshlight, with a lot of porn stars on it. And it was like Riley Reid and was Dangers. What's the woman's first name? Dangers, like Amanda Dangers or
know.
something Dangers. There's like, you know, six or seven prominent porn stars. We made a comedy sketch for them. But when we showed up to film it, we found out they were also shooting porn on that same set. So we'd be filming this comedy sketch. It was only just like solo woman masturbation porn. But it was like I walked into the building to film this comedy sketch, and Riley Reid walked up to me completely naked and said, "Hi, I'm Riley." And she shook my hand. I was like, "Okay, this is going to be a different sort of day." And then we would be filming this comedy sketch, and they'd be like, "All right, quiet on set, quiet on set." And then we have to wait for like 10 minutes as this girl like masturbated in the same room as us very loudly and came to like some big fake orgasm. And then they'd be like, "All right, you guys can keep going now." So it was like the room was like a big, like, you know, 30 by 30 room. And on our side, there was like a couch that we were filming a comedy show on. And on their side, there was a couch that they were filming porn on. And it was all. They were also molding vaginas to make new fleshlights. They offered to mold us. We're like, no, thanks. But I actually got to talk to Riley Reid a decent bit at that shoot, and she's very nice, very normal. I think she's around my age, so I related to her.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird how, you know, people definitely treat porn stars like they're like not human or something like that, but they're human. It
Yeah.
was also the only sketch I've ever shot where I had to continually tell the stars to go put more clothes on. They're like, "Oh, we're shooting a video? Okay, I'll be right back." And then they went to this dressing room and they come out. It's like, "Dude, you have to put a shirt on. Like, you have to put a shirt on." And then they come back with like a shirt that just kind of covered their nipples. And you're like, "No, it's more. It's like, it's not about that. It's like about comedy. You have to, please go put on a normal shirt."
I was going to ask you about, I know there's a show on a aircraft carrier or something this weekend in San
Yeah.
Francisco, right? Are you going to that? Are you guys going to have a tent set up there or?
Hell yeah, I'm going to that. I don't think we're not gonna have a tent, but we are gonna be giving out free merch. It's called Rock the Ship Festival, rocktheshipfestival.com. Yeah, Cox Bar's playing, Monster Squad's playing, Street Dogs, Old Firm Casuals, Charger. It's gonna be a fucking killer time. Yeah, so the company is running it, they're called Pirates Press,
Yeah.
and they put out a bunch of, like, if you're a band who needs to put out a record, they'll put out your record. They opened up their own factory to in Czechoslovakia, I think. Czech Republic, I don't know. And they put out a lot of my favorite bands. And every year, every like 5 years, it seems like they do a big party. I was at their 10-year one. They closed down a street by the Parkside in San Francisco, and Cox Bar played. This time they're doing it on a flight deck of an aircraft carrier.
Man, that sounds like it's going to be awesome.
It's gonna be awesome. It's gonna be insane. I was like, it seems like a little dangerous to me. Like, don't you think a bunch of punks drinking on an aircraft carrier is
Falling
like,
overboard.
aren't people gonna fall overboard? Or like, just like, you know, some punks are gonna try to wander down into the depths of the ship and get lost and stuff.
Right.
It's gonna be a hell of a time. I can't wait. It's so bizarre to have a show on the flight deck of an aircraft carrier. Like, there's gonna be a stage set up like on the front of the ship.
Yeah, that's
I don't know.
nuts.
There's gonna be some crazy looking pictures from that show. But Pirates Press, I don't know, man. I'm like, all right, well, this is what they're doing for 15 years. Like, I'm scared to find out what they're doing for 20 years.
Well,
Whereas like
I was going to
wrestling.
ask you about your other website. So you're like really into wrestling and really into video games as well, right?
Yeah.
And so
Yeah, I mean
what's the deal with the other websites you have going on?
Yeah, so we got once Hard Times became really popular, we started Hard Drive, which is a pretty much Hard Times, but for gaming. And it's incredibly popular. It's, you know, represents a big chunk of our business nowadays, and we've got a presidential candidate who we're running the campaign for. His name is Ace Watkins. I believe his Twitter handle is GamerPrez2020. You should go check it out. He's got a ton of support. But yeah, you know, it's just, I would say wrestling, punk, and video games are my entire childhood consumption of media. You know, that's like, those were the things that I was into. So the fact that I get to run a prominent punk website and video game website is a huge deal for me. I tried to launch a wrestling website, but no one read it, so we had to close it down.
Oh, damn. Last question. What do you see as the future for the website and everything that's kind of spawned off of it?
Well, we started a podcast network, which is a lot of fun. We're going to have Hard Times podcasts and Hard Drive podcasts on there. And Our first book comes out on October 29th. People can pre-order it at thehardtimes.net/book. And I'd like to make more books. I had a lot of fun making this one. And the initial feedback from people who read it is that they really like it. And I think that I think people are really going to enjoy it. And I think that I think we're going to get close to hitting the bottom of the New York Times bestseller list. Amazon has already had to reorder more books because so many people were ordering it. So I'm particularly excited about that book, and I want to put out a hard drive book, and I want to get into a web series or a TV show, and I'd like to expand out both Hard Times and Hard Drive to cover more ground than they do currently. So Hard Times is based in punk and hardcore. I'd like to expand it out in the future so that it's almost all types of music. And Hard Drive is based in video games, but I would like to expand it out so that it's almost all of nerd culture. So yeah, I want to grow, and continue to make good content. Not grow too fast. I want to make sure that everything we're putting out is good. But if you like Hard Times, we're not going anywhere. You'll see more from us real soon.
We worked our way up from Eastern pubs to gigs and backstage passes, Xboxing champs, Western clubs, Americans in dark glasses, driving 10 grand cars, drinking hotel bars, even making money in bed. They wouldn't be no loss, they ain't worth a toss. It's about time they all dropped dead. Take them all, pull them up against the wall and shoot them, short and tall. Watch your fall. Come on, boys, take them all. We're tough shit, boys. It weren't our fault. Your record didn't make it. We made your dance. You made your chance, but you didn't take it. Well, I gotta go make another deal. Sign another group for the company. I don't suppose we'll ever meet again. You better get back to the factory. Take them all. Take them all. Put them up against the wall.